The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today my guest on Off the Shelf is Bill Gormley. Bill is the president of the Gormley Group and also serves as a member of the board of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roger. Look forward to our conversation today.
Well, it's we're in the last quarter of the calendar year, but I would have to say to you, happy new fiscal year, Bill.
Happy new year. This is what,
2017, I think. Wow. I believe that, right? I do that math right. Wow. I always screw that up, even when I was in government, what fiscal year we're in.
Is there a continuing resolution?
I believe so, I think.
CR.
Yeah. So let's do a little bit of a year in review, I guess. And I guess I'm going to just open it up by asking you, like, for your thoughts. And, you know, when you think about 2016, the year we just passed fiscally, how would you describe it?
I can do it in one word if you like. Be a short conversation.
Well, I got to hear this. Go ahead. Let's have it.
Perplexing. Can we start with that?
Perplexing. Well, I'm perplexed. Bill, why do you call it why was the last year perplexing?
I wish your listeners could call in.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He can help me out right
now. Be careful what you wish for.
That's right. Anyway, I think in regards to the 2016, at least the government year 2016, I think the administration has had a lot of initiatives on the table, and some of them got legs in 2016. Obviously, category management towards the end. I'm sure you're going to touch on it anyway, but I'll get into transactional data reporting. And the reason I bring those two up, those two areas in particular, Roger, is I think the idea that what has been the number of government requirements have increased from a contractor standpoint is being viewed as being good for both parties. And I think this comes under the unintended consequences. And I think they're really, what we're seeing from an industry standpoint is that it's creating a burden on government, on industry. And I think from a government...
Well, correspondingly on government, I would argue.
Yeah, I guess from a government and user standpoint, we're not seeing what's being streamlined, and we can get in a reduction of contract duplication and things of those natures that people can sort of take positions on. But I think overall, I don't really see, from an industry lens, the reduction it's kind of the old terminology or old statement of, making it easier to do business with. I think that is not, we're not hearing that, in really any circles today.
Right. Well, and you're perplexed by that?
Yeah, I knew you're going to come back on this one, but I think what we're trying to do is, the government wants to operate more efficiently. I mean, that's a continuum. So
share that goal, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So I mean, right, exactly. Both from a government taxpayer standpoint, we want to go to that direction and come back and say, from an industry, running any business, any size of business. And I think it's the burden for some have reached a point where, they've made decisions that the risk has just become greater than the potential reward, if you want to look at it that way.
Right. So, I think that's a great word to use, actually, Bill. And I do, the perplexing, I guess, part of it is, the goal is to reduce, I guess, and make it more efficient, but it's being done through inefficient means, so to speak.
No, I just think I think there's such a rush. Now, we know we're in the last year of the administration, so I don't know if it's a rush to try and get as many things done that were thought of or initiated. So kind of recognize that to some extent. Having said that, that doesn't mean that you try and do things that are going to be accelerated to the point where you feel that there's cost savings, but then as you know, Roger, from your government career, and myself, it's difficult for the government to measure itself, and I think that's why they use outside. They put that inability, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but their inability to do that, and they put it on the outside, in this case the contractors, to fulfill a gap of and for example the transactional data reporting. Government, we've had this conversation before in the conferences at the coalition and in other areas, is that that data is created by the government.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, at some point the government, hopefully has given some consideration to taking steps to recognize that. And that is a commercial practice. I know when we heard recently that, as an example, Marriott just acquired, has now become the largest provider of hotel, motel spacing, and through their acquisition and through a major acquisition of over $14 billion, I think. And then the CEO is talking to the shareholders and says, we're going to get a better price on tomatoes and reservation systems. I mean, it went from that span of discussion. It just caught my attention, like, to have that information accessible and to have
internally.
Exactly. Right. So to mine their own data to see where they can obviously, reduce costs, which the government's trying to do.
Right.
And I think I'm not going to overplay the Marriott example, but having said that, Marriott can make that decision right now, or has that visibility right now. And I think the government's trying to save money, but I think how they're doing it or how they're compiling those savings, no one's going to question the objective to save money, period. But I think there has to be a broader recognition of what is occurring on the industry side, and the industry is given no recognition of you're increasing my costs.
Right.
And therefore, some people are going to start leaving government contracting.
Really? Let's talk about
Oracle.
Oracle just left
get the big one out on the table, and then they've made a decision to leave a program that they've been in for a long time, and there can be a lot of opinions. Oracle is the only one who can actually answer the question of why they made that decision. So we're not going to. That's not what this is about. I think the point is that regardless of their rationale, I think that what has to be considered here is government becoming easier to do business with. And I think we can say, without knowing how Oracle made their decision in this case, that if the government was easier to do business with, Oracle wouldn't have left.
I think that's probably a fair observation. Yeah.
And so, there's other folks that we know in the industry that are looking at, what is the cost of doing business with the government, more so now, just because of the competitive marketplace. And I think there has to be some recognition of that. And I think that's kind of, what's perplexing about this.
Right. Well, weren't you one of the, didn't you negotiate with Oracle, one of the first big BPAs that formed the foundation of the Smart Buy program, ESI, the Enterprise Software Initiative, and all that stuff?
That was Floyd Gross in the Navy.
Yeah, they're
still with Navy. And we did the first, good memory.
Thank you.
We did the first BPA, government-wide BPA, when we initiated the BPA program in the mid-90s. And to Floyd Gross's Navy Department, DOD's credit, they saw an opportunity about aggregating requirements, in this case, Oracle software. And that reduced the administration on Oracle. Therefore, Oracle was able to give a significant discount off the schedule. That did not mean the schedule pricing was high. It just means that when they were aggregating, they could do that. So I think, acquisition is fairly simple here. And I think we've overly complicated it in so many ways. And I think that's at some point, all these initiatives, I think, have to be looked at, continued to be looked at, I should say, for ways to reduce the burden, not to increase the burden, both on the customer side and industry side. Therefore, I think the recognition of increasing customer service overall is it would probably be a good benchmark to start from.
Right. And Bill, you know what? We're already up on the first break, and
I'm perplexed.
It's that fast. That's right. My guest today is Bill Gormley. He's the president of the Gormley Group and serves on the board of directors of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group and is a member of the Board of Directors Coalition. Bill, we've been talking about the perplexing nature of the last fiscal year, and we sort of segued into a little bit about Oracle and, then we started talking a little bit about transactional data and requirements. That's like covered a fair amount right there. But when you're talking about transactional data and requirements, I just wanted to get your thoughts. And this was like the second to the last day of the fiscal year, I think, GSA announced the creation of a U.S. Data Federation. I guess it's being done out of the digital service or the technology transformation service, something like that. And it's all about standardizing data and creating interfaces and things like that. Do you have any thoughts on this new organization?
So that's 18 under 18F, I assume.
I think so. Yeah, I believe so.
Well, I didn't.
Or in conjunction with them.
I saw the article. I think just to kind of bring it into our discussion. The irony here, right? I think this is a great opportunity for GSA, who's taken and wants to take a leadership role from an IT perspective and helping other agencies and departments with their IT challenges or advancements. And this federation here, to kind of get back to, you're right, we were talking about government requirements. This would be, I think, a great initial assignment or an early assignment for this federation. Because the federation the scope is all of federal government data, and for it to
theoretically, I guess,
so to be able to mine data and acquisition data in particular, and so I think this would be, hey Roger, this could be your highlight show right here. I mean, so the idea would be, why not have this federation design the requirements for the government to capture its acquisition requirements and take the burden off industry. Although the government has indicated this is going to save industry a burden, I think the government will then find out what kind of burden it is. And so, and in fairness, be able to be a more educated, buyer of how they should buy what the government's buying off this big data harvest.
So the Data Federation should spearhead an effort to try to maybe do a pilot for transactional data reporting?
I'm raising my hand right now. As a taxpayer, I would agree. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. That dovetails, one of the, I hate to go back to our comments on the transactional data rule. One of the things the coalition suggested is perhaps doing an internal pilot, at least, to try to see about tracking data internally. Because even when you listen to a lot of the examples about the UK government that are thrown around, that the initial and the bedrock of that, as I understand it, and I've heard several people talk about it, people involved in it, was looking at their own accounts receivable internally to get a sense of how much they were buying and are not buying. So it seems to me that this is, to your point, that's a great suggestion. Might be worth a blog even.
I think you could just get right on that and find out if there's interest or not. I think it's a great opportunity for the government to really seize a commercial practice in contracting, and in doing so, they would accelerate the overall experience in customer service and more timely requirements.
Oh, that was what I was going to ask you. So what's the return on investment on doing that?
Well, I think then it would reduce the total cost of acquisition. And I think that's something that the government, recognizes that it doesn't have a handle on it. But I think this would give them significant data elements to draw from to determine.
Like how many chairs they're buying, that sort of thing.
Sure.
Whatever, right?
Yep. And so I just think it just makes them a smarter, you know, when they go to the market, and also it educates the market, it'll be out there. So I think it's a great way to really move towards where the government's trying to go. And that's, you know, that's kind of a cliche, but to be a smarter buyer, I mean, it's kind of.
What you're talking about, sir, we're like a win-win, right? So
I hate calling
well,
it.
Hey, listen, you know, I know
you have two
hate
teams,
that,
and both of them don't win. What sport wins when you have a game?
Well, come on now.
They get a tie.
Well, we could have a draw. Well, no, let's say now. Well, yeah.
Soccer, you get a point for a tie.
Well, so maybe acquisition is a contact sport. I don't know. But, you know, this pilot could demonstrate that you don't need transactional data reporting because the government.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, it would eliminate it.
Right.
Okay, so I mean, that's kind of what you're talking about. Yeah.
I mean, so it'd be good for the industry, save money, lead to lower pricing, reducing burden, getting greater access to commercial market, and for the government, to your point, reduce the total cost of acquisition, both on the industry side, but even internally, better management of their own information, better requirements analysis, you know, quicker to go to market when they see opportunities to leverage requirements, all that kind of stuff is
the potential. The only industry I look at as far as transaction data reporting are the utilities. So we can have a little fun here, and I'll keep it short, Roger.
Okay.
So I'm sure you have a cell phone.
Yes, I do.
Okay. So you know you use a cell phone.
Yes, I do.
And you know who you called or who you received the call from. But when you get your monthly statement, it lays all that out. Okay.
Right.
So the key here is that but you need it because that's how they charge you. So you're not, and so that cost of them providing that to you is built into the bill. And that's their commercial practice. Okay, what is being asked of industry is not a commercial practice. So utilities, they send it to your home or all whatever. You know, you see how much power you use, you see how many telephone calls you do. I mean, all that is the commercial practice. This is what's being asked of TDR is not commercial practice. I think that's a thing I can hit home with most of your listeners. I'm sure most of them have a phone or you have a utility bill.
Right. Well, that's perplexing, Bill.
Knock it off.
Okay. No, I'm not
we're into a new year. Hey, we're into a new year.
Okay. Well, right. Okay.
There you go.
So, well, looking forward then, when you're thinking about, you mentioned something that, you know, measures of whether it's total acquisition cost or, you know, I know Steve Schooner is a big proponent of, you know, some sort of measure of customer satisfaction. Did what you buy meet your requirements, do the job for you, that sort of thing. Do you have any thoughts in that area? And we got about a minute and a half left.
I know I've heard Steve Schooner from GW talk.
Who is going to be one of our luncheon keynote speaker at the fall conference.
So you got
November,
very good.
November 17th, Steve will be there.
Good. So we'll have further, one-on-one elaboration on this.
Absolutely.
You hear from the source. But in summary, because we probably have less than a minute and a half left. So,
yeah, we do, yes. Sorry to take your time, Bill.
The bottom line here is, you know, we need to understand how to satisfy a customer. And I think at the end of the day, it's not low price technically acceptable, and it's just not putting such a burden on resources, both internal government and external government, in trying to conduct acquisitions and purchasing. So I think the government's overreaching more so into industry for information and for its help from the government's viewpoint, but it's costing industry resources of its own. I mean, you know, it's not free. And I think you had a term that
data is not free.
And I think my time is probably getting close to being up right now.
No, so a follow-up real quick.
Good.
So, so what does your gut tell you when you look at, you know, much of GSA's position is that it's reducing burden through the transactional data rule. Is that what your sense is? Is that what you're hearing from, you know, contractors?
Listen, we understand the GSA's objective here. So
right.
This is not, you know, us coming down in any way on GSA. So I just want to get that clear. And I mean that, you know, That doesn't mean that straight up. I think the key here is that the fact that someone can say it's not a burden to industry, that is not a correct statement. And I think it's going to be a burden somewhere. Anytime you do something in addition, it becomes a burden. I don't care if you like the burden or don't like the burden. There's a burden in an industry. When it's a burden, it becomes a cost element. You know, for those folks that, you know, like myself who run companies, you understand what the expense side is. And if you have to start doing more work for people and you can't increase the pricing at all, then that becomes a burden right there.
Right. Now, on that note, we have to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about one of Bill's favorite topics, ODCs. The GSA just issued a proposed rule on other direct costs on the GSA schedules. My guest today is Bill Gormley. He is president of the Gormley Group, and you are listening to Off the Shelf on Fred News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Fred News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group and also a member of the board at Coalition for Government Procurement. And Bill, you know, I know this topic is near and dear to your heart, and historically, this issue.
Come on, Roger. I'm you got me going here. What are we talking about?
We're talking about other direct costs. Or as now the new terminology is order level materials, OLM.
OLM.
Which would include materials and services.
We all love acronym when I was in government.
Yes, well, it's a renamed acronym now.
So it's ODC to OLM.
Right. And OLMs include ODCs. Include technically.
You're killing me.
Yeah. Well, hey.
All right.
Yeah. So the GSA issued a proposed rule just recently, and I think it was on September 9th, and the due date for comments is November 8th.
Yeah, 60 days or something, if I remember right.
Yeah, I think that's election day, right?
So
I don't know which is more important. ODC submitted comments on the ODCs or voting that day. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think I'll do both.
But you got to vote. All right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Everybody's got to vote.
And that is a you can use the word perplexing there too if you want to. Anyway, the from an ODC standpoint, this has been a long. I mean, I've been out of government
2011.
16 years.
Yeah,
I mean, I got over 16 years, and so we just started getting this when I left, and so I am so happy to see the government
16 years later.
Recognize the need of at least putting something out for comment. And I guess they're changing it to OLM now, so that's really going to be, but ODCs, other direct costs. So this is an example from our listeners where if work was being done or if the customer needed the government, talking about customer satisfaction, this is really will increase.
Directly goes to customer satisfaction.
Right, directly. So if they needed to have other work, so if you were doing a print job or doing printing or something, and they needed a different binder on it, or you needed, I know that sounds old school, but if you needed something in addition to an ancillary service or something to get a job done, and it wasn't on your contract, the ODCs is the idea. You know, it's kind of the unknown, to cover the unknown. And I think part of this is number one, hats off to GSA. How's that?
Yes.
Wow. Maybe 2017 could be hats off.
Right.
Or hats in the ring, one or the other. So here's an opportunity for people to give comment. And I think part of this is, you know, we talk about, first we have hats off to GSA for putting it out there, number one. I think part of the comment period, Roger, and I know from a coalition standpoint, you're looking at providing comments on this. So I'm sure you're getting feedback from the members. But, you know, is there any burden here? That's kind of the one area I would think of the need to look at the language that's being proposed. And if I remember right, I think part of the ODC is that cost outside of the contract was to be supported by the contractor getting at least three bids from outside sources to make sure it was competitive, you know. And
yeah, for the material or the service or whatever considered. Yeah,
you know, hey folks, to be squeaky clean from a government standpoint, that plays very well in Peoria. I think you got to look at it from an industry standpoint. Industry has relationships with people set up in many areas, and so where a contractor has a relationship, they've vetted that relationship. So to have now the company go out in some cases and get more quotes in order to substantiate the price, you are creating a burden there. I hate saying it, because I want to. I'm trying desperately.
It's perplexing, isn't it?
I'm trying to get off that now, but anyway, that was last year.
I can't help myself.
So I'm trying to be open-minded. How's that? So I think the ODC thing, or the OLM, is a good initiative. Okay, let's just leave it that way. I think that hopefully through the comment period, it would be great if GSA and the government can see its way towards recognizing that, you know, that the customer and the contractor that part of the government buying activity is to determine fair and reasonable price. To be fair, you know, the fact you get three bids doesn't make it fair and reasonable either. I mean, that doesn't secure it. So I think that's where, you know, giving the customer a voice in this transaction and the contractor a voice in discussing the transaction with the customer is the appropriate thing to do. So, you know, I'm more market driven on this, and the way the market operates is the more so the way the government should go, and the government's going to get a better deal and faster service by doing it, and reduce its total overall acquisition costs. Increase customer satisfaction.
Right. Well, it's interesting, and you know, one of the things we'll be looking at in the rule is it talks about a goal of parity, bringing the schedules to parity with other commercial item contracts. And to your point, they're going about it in a way that there are some additional burdens that are different than traditional commercial item contracts. So what you'd like to see is that burden being on par for ODCs under other commercial item IDIQ contracts versus the GSA schedules, I think.
Hey, Roger, can I put you on spot for your
That's
own show?
That's my geeky.
Can I put you on spot on your
sure,
own show?
Sure, go ahead.
You're a government lawyer.
Yes, you don't. Don't hold that against me.
Yeah, we don't want to go public on that.
Right.
And so I was a contracting officer and so on, right, in government.
Right.
So I guess the question is the need to have three competitive quotes on an OLM, is that a legal requirement?
It is if it goes into this clause, yes.
Okay. So the government would make it require it to be a legal clause. But right now, I'm asking you, is there any?
I don't see any similar provision.
There's
not a similar provision in the standard FAR clauses.
Okay. So now you're going to push my burden button. So is this a burden? So are we trying to be so squeaky clean that we're creating an unintended consequence?
Sure. Yeah.
That's to be discussed later, Roger.
Yes. Well, part of the comments on the rule, right?
Right.
And going through that process.
There you go.
So, another area like you, I know you enjoy talking about is actually category management. Okay. And, we discussed transactional data, and big part of category management is, you know, the analysis of data information, which the government should do. You know, there's a question, the concern that industry has, obviously, then we've gone over it already, is how they're acquiring that data. But, you know, just thoughts on category management?
You know, I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking about what we just spoke earlier throughout this show.
Sure.
And this is exactly, I have a strong position on acquisition is not a discussion at a cocktail.
This is a cocktail party.
Yep. It is not. And so, and what I mean by that is this is not attractive. It's not provocative. It's not, you know, so it's kind of really, it's ugly, you know, when you really get down to it, procurement. And it can be very basic. And I think what we're doing here through the other things we've talked about, you know, I just think that the category management is recognized as a commercial practice.
Mm-hmm.
In of itself.
Yep.
I think how we get there, again, is the government unloading or putting a burden on industry like, hey, I do business with you. You need to tell me all the stuff that I do with you throughout government. And if it was, you know, the government says it's the largest buyer, and it's not the largest buyer It's the largest buyer of very few things. I'll put it that way. I'm not going to say in every industry it's not the largest buyer, but if you break out the government, it's a large spender. It's one of the largest spenders. I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but as far as the largest buyer within, you know, to have a company walk away that does several hundred million from a Skittles program is not, and that's not attractive enough for them to stay. Say we talked earlier, and there's other people that are looking at it that way. So I think the GSA and the rest of the federal government should just look at how can we buy smarter. And I think category management is a recognition that the government needs to move towards buying in, from a category perspective. But in doing so, Roger, you know, I feel like we're replowing the field here.
Sure, we are.
Is to go back to the data. You know, and transactional data reporting is supposed to help address that. And then you look at who's managing the data once it starts flowing in. And behind each sale, all of our listeners know there's going to be different terms, conditions, there's going to be quantities, there could be warranties. There's all these little provisions in there that is not apples and apples. It's, you know, the old apple and fruit cocktail, you know?
Right.
So, and then how's that going to be then moved forward to a buyer in government who has an upcoming requirement? I'm not the brightest light bulb in the room, but I'm trying to figure out how somebody's going to get brighter by having this information. I'll put it that way.
Okay. Hey, so, you know, when you're talking about, you know, acquisition as a topic at a cocktail party, acquisition is really like, isn't it like you, this is another phrase, like it's getting down in the engine room, right?
Your boiler room.
In the boiler room, right?
Oh, yeah.
In the boiler room. When you start talking acquisition at a party, it's like people start looking, okay, yeah, how can I get away from this guy?
Yeah, right. Either that or give another drink. So, and that's okay. I mean, that's what we do, and we like it. You know, it can be fun, but it's not, if it's going to be cocktail party, it's got to be GSAs or something. It's going to be somebody who enjoys talking about it. So the point here, I think, is you know, I think really to sit down and think through the policy process more to make it more inclusive and less kind of, it's kind of a handoff on down, kind of a flow down goes to, at the end of the day, it's going to industry.
Right.
So industry is not seeing less burden placed on them.
All right. Well, Bill, on that note, we have to take our last break. My guest today is Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group and member of the board of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the upcoming coalition conference, a little bit about that, and then also just a potpourri of other little issues as we enter the new fiscal year. And we'll talk a little bit about, I guess what we'll do is talk a little bit about transitions.
Good.
Okay. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group and also a member of the Coalition Board of Directors. And Bill, one of the things I know you've had since we are in the new fiscal year, and it happens to be the fiscal year and during which we will have a new administration taking over, we'll have a transition, I think it would be great to get some of your thoughts or your experiences, some of the keys you saw of successful transitions from one administration to another. I think you've seen same party transitions and also where you've had situations where it's changed party in terms of the transition. So, any thoughts on that? That's a big question, I know. But you can focus on a couple.
Boil the political ocean here into a glass of water. So, yeah, I think. What I'll share is that even when a party has not changed, or majority of the party did change, but the commonality is whomever's coming in, the new president and that individual's people that they're hiring and their staffs, everybody's is so eager they just want to hit the road running. And I think, someone hit the road running and just run over people, as to what the ideas are and how fast they want to get everything done. And I think, while we've talked today about, not saying it, so we talked about it indirectly, is the government is a bureaucracy, and that's not a criticism. It's built that way, and for really to have checks and balances. So to have, you know, immediate swings would not be a healthy thing for our country. And but I think you can be organized and make and get changes done in a relatively short time. So I think here on the transition side, Roger, to answer your question, there's going to be a lot of folks in. There's going to be a lot need for a lot of confirmation. The Hill hasn't shown over the years a willingness to confirm quickly. If it is, it's by exception. And so that's number one. So you're going to have a lot of actors in key positions. So that's not going to be unusual, but that does.
Usually all those are career government folks, right?
Yeah. And it does. Yeah. And then there's sort of a risk adverse side to that, you know?
Right.
And so things may, not may, certain areas will slow down. Okay. And I think so they you have that side. And then the other side is, you know, with the security clearances and then the need for, you know, cyber and all that, I think it's just going to be a slower vetting process just overall compared to how it, you know, it was slow in the past, but I don't see that getting any quicker, you know, although we know this is going to happen every 4 years.
Right.
So I think from an industry standpoint, you know, also the recognition of whomever enters the White House in January, is going to inherit this administration's budget. So for, you know, almost their first full year.
Right.
You know, if you want to call it that, or first 9 months, however you want to categorize it, it's going to be this administration's budget. Yeah, they can make some changes, but overall it's going to be pretty much intact. So it's really going to be, how does that change the following year? And I think some of that's, I'm not going to get ahead of this now, because some of it just depends on who's coming in, who's winning, who's going to win, and then we'll go from there.
Right. Do you think, I don't want to get, you know, predictions one way or the other, but do you think that this, whoever comes in, is going to be doing a review of government in total or operations?
Yeah, part of the internal process is a lot of PowerPoints.
Yes, I remember that.
A lot. So, and be ready, you know, you should, you know, for the government employee side, you know, you should. This is your time to demonstrate your knowledge of your program. It's you know, unfortunately, I've been in some meetings where someone's giving a presentation and it's just they don't go below the veneer. I mean, so you scratch them and they just kind of then let me get back to you. And so those don't usually go well. I'll put it that way. And so there are going to be a lot of reviews, and that's going to be review mode probably for the 90 days.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, along those lines, the coalition's going to be having our conference actually after the election, and we're going to focus on transition and what it means to you, and you're going to have presentations on, you know, what expectations based on who won and, you know, what their potential policies would be in the procurement area and what it means for contractors. But I know you're really excited and played a big role in putting together one of the panels. The panel that focuses on if I knew then what I know now.
I tell you, our listeners need to come to this. It's going to be very, for those that are in this market and have been in for a while, you know, Coalition's put together a good panel here of if I knew then what I know now. So that I guess that goes throughout life, right?
Right.
But we're talking acquisition policy.
Like if I knew yesterday what I know now.
I bet you that's a good cocktail topic if I knew now. Anyway, so the panelist is Steve Kelman. So he was a former OFPP administrator. There's someone who's confirmed, been through that process. You know, we're talking about that. And, you know, he's a weatherhead professor I'm sure a lot of listeners know him from Harvard. And you have Dee Lee, who also was OFPP administrator for a while, but predominantly spent her time at DOD and acquisition. So she's been through that. I think she's heading up the 809 panel now.
Yeah, that is correct. She's heading up the 809 panel, a panel of procurement experts authorized by Congress to review DOD's acquisition system, basically. You know, they've kicked off actually in September, and you know, I had a chance to talk to him, and I'm looking for, you know, I think everybody's looking forward to see what, you know, their efforts and their work.
So we have Dee followed, you know, we have Jim Williams, who's former commissioner at, I guess it was Federal Acquisition Service or Federal Supply Service.
Yeah, Federal Acquisition Service, yeah.
Yeah.
Acting Administrator for a while.
Acting Administrator. Then we have Dan Tangerlini.
Wow.
Hey, here we go.
Former GSA Administrator.
Former GSA, confirmed. GSA Administrator.
Went through that process,
So, you know, and so that's going to be really good. That's good. And then we have Angela Stiles, former OFPP Administrator, who was confirmed and is a... where's she at? At Crowell?
She's ahead of Crowell and Warren.
Yeah, right? So knowing that these people are, some of these are in the market and now facing or looking to serve the government in a business, from a business perspective, it'll be very interesting. And now they don't have their political hats on. I don't know if they'll maybe think they think they're political. You ever think anybody takes their political hat all the way off? I don't know.
I don't think that happens. Not at all.
Anyway, what's going to excite everybody is Tom Sisti, right? He's the moderator.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So Tom will be doing this. So this is going to be, for those who know Tom, know where I'm headed. But those who don't, Tom is, he actually would host a cocktail party, talk about acquisition.
Right. He gets down in the boiler room.
He gets down in the boiler room. He can read the gauges, and he knows when the whistles are going to go off. So that's Tom.
Yeah.
So this will be going to be good. That's going to be very telling. And, you know, the good part here, Roger, is it gives, hopefully, you know, GSA and the participants in other areas are going to really get some insight from this panel and also be able to network with them during the course of the conference.
Right. And there will be breakout sessions where you can focus on key procurement programs and have government industry exchange. And that, you know, that always helps both the government to better manage its requirements. As someone who participated in those meetings when I was with government, and at the same time, it also provides industry with the opportunity to provide feedback and learn more about government programs. And that's sort of, you know, like people don't use MythBusters anymore, but this is a, you know, it's an opportunity for a MythBusters dialogue and our breakout sessions in the afternoon. So.
Is MythBusters still out there?
It's still out there.
I mean, it should be. I mean,
it's still there.
I don't hear any.
I mean, it hasn't been.
Is there like MythBuster reminder?
This could be a MythBusters. I can't even say that. Yes, it could be a MythBusters reminder. Absolutely.
Go. Good. So, good.
Anyway, so I want to thank my guest today, Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group and a member of the board of directors, Coalition for Government Procurement, and you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.